Amen and amen. Today's text is from Genesis chapter 35 and starting at verse 9. I'm going to read that and then we'll kind of begin. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, Jacob, and I will give the land to your offspring after you." Then God went up from him in the place where he'd spoken with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken with him, Bethel. Here ends the word of the Lord. Today, I want to talk to us about generational sin. Generational sin. Essentially, generational, like family issues. Things that get passed on from your grandparents to your parents to you to your kids. Or great-grandparents, however you kind of want to think about it. I want to talk about things that get passed on, sin that gets passed on, brokenness, dysfunction that gets passed on down from generation to generation. And I want to try to identify some of those things, and I want us to think a little bit about it, not to just stay in some morbid place or something. We're going to go somewhere. There's a purpose behind this. But I want you to recognize that today's message is not just a message that is like only this next 20 minutes. See what I'm saying? This is a message that actually you need to work on this next week. There's a little bit of like homework, almost, kind of, which kind of sucks. But you got to take this message. This is a message that really needs to kind of flow out of some exercise. You need not exercise like working out, like an exercise of trying to identify what some of this generational brokenness in your family might be. And I did this past week. I actually, we're on a text string with a bunch of my family. I sent them. I was like, how messed up is our family? Text, you know, send. And how messed up are we? Why are we messed up? Blah, blah, blah. Here, send, you know. And not to like try to make anybody mad or anything like that, but just have an honest, open conversation with some of my family about it. And it was fascinating some of the stuff that came out of what people had identified as, yeah, this kind of got passed down and this kind of got passed down. And I feel like this is kind of a struggle in our family or whatever it might be. It was fascinating. And ultimately, where we're going is a place where you can maybe start to identify what some of these things might be. Not to stay in that bad place of like, oh, our family's so screwed up, but to ultimately move to a place where God shows up in the middle of that and works with us in whatever that might be for you. That's kind of where we're going, okay? Now, I'll be honest with you. The exercise is a really fun exercise when it's from your parents to you, because you can just be like, man, they're messed up, and you pass that on to me, right? That's fun. It's less fun when you look at your kids, okay, and you do the same exercise, and you're like, what am I passing on to my kids? That's less fun. But you have to kind of do both of that, right, to kind of start to think about and identify what are some of these generational gaps and problems that are showing up in maybe my family system. Let me say a prayer, and then we're going to jump in today's message, and you're going to get to hear a little bit of how messed up my family is, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you now and we just ask that you'd open up our hearts and our minds to hearing from you, hearing your word. God, I just pray for myself right now that I would simply share what you want us to hear. Not a word more and not a word less. God, let me, Seth Kunze, kind of slowly disappear and you just become so much more clear in our hearts and in our minds. Shape us this morning. Grow us, mold us, shape, change us, Lord. Do the thing in us that only your word can do, and we just pray that that would take place this morning. Bless this time right now, Lord. We pray this boldly in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Cool. Amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, let me get my time going here so I can keep an eye on that. So I started doing some thinking about how messed up my family is. And one of the things I identified in my own life that I see in my whole family is essentially this idea of like, now I'm almost kind of like brain farting here, which is so funny to me. Isn't that hilarious, John? Why am I brain farting? I have two things that I want to share. That's why. My family can easily be a family that like sweeps things under the rug, okay? We can do things at times saying that we're doing things with the right heart, but still hurt somebody. But because we've done it with the right heart or the right mindset, we can kind of say, well, it's okay because I didn't mean to do that to you. Does that make sense? So my family, I've heard my family say this. Like things like, well, I didn't mean to do that. And my heart was in the right place. Yeah, but you still screwed me over. See what I'm saying? And it's fascinating. It's a fascinating problem because I literally see this sometimes in all my family. And let me say this quick. My parents are actually coming. They're going to be here next Sunday. And so I kind of wanted to get this sermon out of the way. You know what I'm saying? I kind of wanted to get this sermon done with so we kind of move on to something really lovey next week. So next week will be like all roses and, you know, all fun. And, you know, my mom will be like, oh, he's such a good pastor, you know, next week. But that's what my family does. My family will accidentally at times even hurt somebody, but kind of be like, it's okay. It's okay because I didn't mean to do that. Well, the Bible actually says something very specific about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says this. Listen to what it actually says. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. See, you could actually go into a situation where you didn't mean to do anything bad, but you could still be at fault. Because even if I feel like I didn't mean to, my heart's in the right place, well, yeah, but you still could hurt people, or you could still sin, and you could still do some not good things, right? I mean, this just happens. And so this is a word that my family, as a generation, kind of like passing down, needs to hear. I see it with my own kids sometimes. And it's a little different. I almost see it as a little bit of this like sweeping it under the rug kind of thing. But anytime I want to engage my kids in a conversation that's kind of like, hey, man, we've identified some problems here and I want to engage this, they'll kind of say, yeah, I'm sorry, Dad, and just kind of keep moving. And I see that sometimes in my own life where it's like, let's just kind of get through the problem, just kind of keep moving. Let's not real deal with the real issue. And I'm sure Jackie could probably attest to this. Is that right, babe? That's kind of true. And so it's just fascinating to see how this kind of takes place at a grandparent and potentially great-grandparent. I wonder, you know, I only know two of my eight great, is that true? You got eight great-grandparents or something like that? Who knows? Whatever. I know like two of them I can only remember. But you know, is that kind of some of those things passed down to grandparents, to then parents, to then kids? And it's just kind of this passing down of some of this stuff. This brokenness, this generational sins. Do you have that? Are there some, to be able to identify it specifically is a fascinating task. You know, to identify real problems. And to be able to move to a place then where God actually shows up in the midst of that mess, knows about it, shows up in the midst of it, and wants to do something in it. Those are kind of my three points today. My first point is really that. God knows you. God knows you. God knows where you come from. God knows what's going on in those generational kind of situations. He knows all about it already. I mean, all of this is really flowing out of our story as we're kind of in our series that we're looking at Abraham, right, and his wife Sarah, and then we're looking at their son Isaac. We did that last week. And now we're looking this week at a guy named Jacob. And it's Jacob that kind of starts to be the grandchild of Abraham, right? And he kind of starts this generational feel to the whole story or the whole narrative. And it's fascinating to look at Jacob's story and to be able to identify broken thing after broken thing in this generational passing down of different sins. You start with it by looking at something even like the word deception or lies. Abraham does this in Egypt. Isaac does this with a guy named Abimelech. Jacob ends up doing this multiple times as he takes his brother Esau's birthright. Then he takes his brother Esau's blessing. Then he ends up kind of going into his, and I know I'm kind of jumping really fast here through the stories, but all I'm saying is this guy who's deceptive, who's almost a liar. And you can see how it gets passed down from one generation to the next with all sorts of deception-like things. His uncle Laban, who he ends up working for a while, he ends up becoming an incredible deceiver. And so it goes out to like extended family. And I know for some of you, the extended family is where the crazies are. I know that. I know. That's okay. There's crazies in the extended family too, right? And this stuff gets passed on. What else? I was thinking about like polygamy. Okay, there's a word. I'll let you teach your kids. But you know, polygamy. You see this stuff as they're kind of like multiple women and stuff going on. And as you know, Abraham's kind of struggles with that. And now Jacob struggles with that. And you'll see Reuben, Jacob's son, ends up kind of doing some stuff he shouldn't with Jacob's concubine. All sorts of weird stuff there going on. You know, you see favoritism taking place with Abraham favoring Isaac over Ishmael. And then you have Isaac who favors Esau over Jacob. And Jacob then ends up favoring Joseph. And Jacob ends up favoring then Benjamin after he thinks Joseph. And all sorts of favoritism and brokenness. These things are being passed down generation to generation to generation. And then it almost feels like it worsens, it expands as some of his sons end up becoming murderers, as Jacob's sons become murderers, as they try to justify some things that took place with their sister. All sorts of stuff going on generationally. And then God comes to Jacob, and I love this, and this is really kind of where we're camping out today. God appears to Jacob again after all this has taken place, after all sorts of messed up stuff. Jacob actually ends up leaving Laban, kind of sneaking his way away from Laban, his uncle, and he gets out of there, gets back to kind of this land that he's kind of sojourning in. And God comes to him again, and God ends up saying this to him. He says, "Your name is Jacob." Now that's fascinating. And here's why this is fascinating. Because already God, do you remember the story? Some of you remember the story of God wrestling with Jacob. Remember that story? That actually took place before this moment. And God already had wrestled with Jacob, wrestled with him, maybe is how you say it down here. Wrestled with him, okay? And he wrestled with him. And then God actually changed Jacob's name to Israel. And now God shows up again with Jacob and says, "Your name is Jacob." Why is he doing that? I don't know fully, but the way that hits me is God coming in and saying, "Jacob, I know you. I know you. I know all about you. I know I've renamed you back here. I know. But just know that I still know you. And I know what you've done. I know where you've come from. I know where you're going. I know you. And you are, follow my thinking here. You are Jacob according to your deeds. But according to the promise, what does he say? You are Israel. According to your deeds, according to all your conniving and all your generational stuff, you are Jacob. But according to the promise, according to what I'm going to be starting to do, what I have been doing in your life, you are Israel. Now, this is fascinating to me. Because this next week, as you start to take some time, and I'm going to encourage you to do this, to identify some specific things that maybe have been passed on to you, that maybe you're passing on to your kids. I don't know. It could be eating disorders. Maybe it's an eating disorder. Maybe is that a struggle for you? As you saw somebody else in your life go through that? Maybe it's overeating. That was one of the things that came through on our string. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's workaholism. You saw your dad bust his tail and he was never around, and so now that's what you do. Maybe it's alcoholism or all the other all-isms out there. Maybe it's another all-ism, right? Maybe it's I don't know what it is for you necessarily. Maybe it's pride. Maybe, you know, Samantha was saying this identity issue that she was kind of struggling with. What is that? That's maybe being passed on to you, and can you identify it? It takes some time. It takes some real honesty. But the ultimate reality is God comes and he looks at you and he says, you are Jacob. And what is he saying? He's saying, I know you. I know you. Even if this next week you are able to identify something that you were never aware of, listen, God already knew that. God already knows that struggle for you. God knows you. And that's what's amazing. Because it takes us to our second point, which is this. God meets you right there. That's where he meets you. He meets you in a place where he knows you. And he knows all about it. There's nothing that God is going to be like surprised about. I kind of shared that last week. Oh, man, I didn't see that one coming. You know, this next week as we start to engage with thinking a little bit about things that are passed down or I'm passing down. Oh, man, I never saw that. That's not going to happen for God. That's not going to happen. He doesn't get surprised by this stuff. Instead, he actually comes and meets us right in the middle of it. I mean, I am fascinated by the fact that God, I mean, this is really the story. This is what the story is about from Genesis chapter 12 through Genesis chapter 50, which is really this four-generational family that's kind of focused on in the end of Genesis here. But I'm fascinated by the fact that God just keeps coming back and keeps showing up in Abraham's life and in Isaac's life and in Jacob's life. And then this story of Joseph and how messed up this family is. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. How, man, that's a messed up as they try to kill their brother, right? Sell him off to slavery. So, I mean, some of you've got bad siblings, but come on, right? And it's just all sorts of bad. And yet God just keeps showing up. And he keeps coming right into the middle of all of these spots. And he speaks right into the middle of it. See, ultimately, as I was thinking about this, look at verse 13. Genesis 35, verse 13. This is fascinating to me. This is at the end of this story. Then God went up from him in the place where he'd spoken with him. And what stood out to me there is not so much that he went up, but that he had... At some point, if you went up, you had to have come down. See? And so God meets him right in the midst of his mess. This is what God does. He meets you in your mess. He meets you in your generational mess. And oftentimes we talk just about my own sin, me personally, it's just me. But the point of today is to actually exaggerate, not to emphasize or over kind of exaggerate our sin even more by looking at it generationally. And the fact that God meets us even in that is incredible. And we're not even talking about generational sin of a church or an entire community. Nation, I don't know. But we're just kind of, even, what does that look like generationally? A passing down. See, ultimately what we do as we grow up is we start to mask things so much better, don't we? This is why it might be difficult for you to actually identify something. Because the thing doesn't necessarily change, but you start to mask it better as an adult. This kind of popped for me the other day. I was at a camp, and I was working with all these kids. And when you're at camp, you can just do stuff you can't do in the rest of the world, okay? Let me just be honest. You know, people are walking around. They haven't showered in like 8 months, and you're in flip-flops, and you just let it all hang out. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like Walmart, you know, at like 2 a.m. I don't know. You just gotta let her go. You know what I'm saying? You ever been to Walmart at 2 a.m.? Go try that sometime. That's fun. That's Star Wars real life. No, I'm just kidding. That's maybe mean. I don't know if that's appropriate, but I'm just thinking on the go. That's not in my notes, Randy. That's not in my notes. But I was at this cabin and we're just hanging out, just enjoying a great week. And then the parents come to pick the kids up. And it was a fascinating moment for me. And this isn't going to translate that great to you, and I know that, and this is why it's a bad example. But I'm watching these parents show up to pick up their kids. And they're all, like, prim. And like, they're all, not prim, that's not the right word. They're just all very proper and, like, it's okay. As they're, like, sitting next to each other. And they're just, they're all, like, but it's like, I just leaned over at Jackie, and I was just like, they're just kids. We just mask stuff better. That's all it is. Oh, bless your heart. No, you want to throat punch that person. Like, just say it. You want to throat punch the guy, just throat punch the guy. Don't say bless your heart. Oh, bless your heart. No, you hate that person. Why are you saying bless your heart? You know what I'm saying, kind of? Like, adults, we just start to mask some of this a little better. We start to adult some of our brokenness. We start to kind of, we just know how to kind of say things so it doesn't look quite so bad. But the reality is, it's that bad. Let's just be honest about it. I mean, there's ways around me saying things like, oh, I had a good heart about it, but I still screwed you over. There's ways I could kind of like weasel my way around that. Is that what we're called to do? Or just say it and just, this is what's going on. And I can already start to see it being passed on to some of my kids. So let's stop it. Let's talk about it. And this is what is amazing is God meets us right there in the middle of it. I was thinking of the text from Romans. Romans chapter 5, it says this. Verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, it's right in the middle of the mess that God shows up to save. Jesus comes and lives the perfect life and dies on the cross and brings salvation to you and to me, not when we got it all figured out, not once we've kind of put an end to the generational messes. No, he shows up right in the middle of it, and he says, I'm in that with you. He knows you. He meets you right there in the middle of it to bring you salvation. And ultimately, because, and this is my third and final point, ultimately God will use you. God wants to use, and although I'm not a very big individualistic kind of guy, actually usually I preach against that, I want to lean into that word you. God wants to use you. Look at the text. Look at Genesis chapter 35, starting at verse 11 and following. Listen to what God tells Jacob, or now Israel. He says this, and God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you. I'm going to use you. Really? I mean, this is pretty messed up, dude. No, I want to use you. Nations shall come from you. The land that I've gave to Abraham, a nation and a company of nations shall come from you. Kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you. I will give the land to your offspring after you. Then God went up from him in the place where he'd spoken with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he'd spoken with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. Ultimately, what he's doing here is worshiping. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken with him, Bethel. Now, here's what's amazing. Here's what's amazing. God shows up. God shows up. He knows Jacob. He says, you are Jacob according to your own deeds, but you are Israel according to what I'm going to be doing. And then God meets him right in the middle of the mess. And then God says, I want to use you. I want to use you in ways and for purposes that are beyond what you can even imagine. And then what does Jacob do? He names the place Bethel. And Bethel means house of God. Beit is the Hebrew word there. Beit, Beth, which almost like Bethlehem. Bethlehem is house of bread. Okay? Bethel, house, El being God, house of God, family of God. Family of God, house of God, temple of God, God working, God doing things, you being connected, you being part of now what I am doing in this world. Listen, I don't know if this morning you're struggling with anger issues. You always get fired up. You always got a temper flare with your spouse. Well, that's because that's exactly what your mom did, or that's exactly what your dad did. Right? I don't know if you got laziness. If you're just always lazy, you're not able to kind of get moving. Is that something that you saw, that you witnessed, that you've maybe passed on to others? Ungrateful. You're always ungrateful. You're always looking for more. Jacob means heel holder. He's always looking for more. I want Esau. I want what he's got. I want more. I want more. I want more. Are you just ungrateful for what God has done in your life? And you watched your parents do that, or the people in your life. Passive leadership in the home. Men, have you witnessed passive leadership? And so now you're passive in your leadership in the home. I don't know. Whatever it is for you. Understand this. God shows up, and Jacob actually says, it's now the house of God that I'm connected to. And if you open up with me to Matthew chapter 1, now, this is jumping all the way to the New Testament. Follow me here. I'm sticking with this idea of generational. Look at how Matthew starts. Watch this. Matthew chapter 1, the book of the genealogy. The generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Whoa, baby. Here we go. This is where Jesus comes from. Where does he come from? I'm just going to look at a couple. Abraham was the father of Isaac. All right, this is what we're talking about. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez, the father of Hezron. And Hezron, the father of Ram. Just go look at some of these stories. Go check out how messed up these people are. Look at verse 6. I'm jumping here. Jesse, the father of David, the king. David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. Ha, that's not cool. Go check out that story sometime. Boom, 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 boom. Broken person, broken person, broken person. God showing up, God showing up. God saying, I'm going to do my thing. According to your deeds, Jacob. According to the promise, Israel. Ba-pop, ba-pop, ba-pop. You're going to be connected now to the house of God, to what, to God's family. Watch this. All the way to verse 16. And Jacob, that's a different Jacob here, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ, the Messiah, the King. He shows up. He comes, right? According to who? According to all the people who tried to make that happen? No, according to the promise. According to what God is doing. And guys, faith in Jesus Christ today. And I want, this is a church for anybody. This is a church for anybody can come. But I'm talking especially to you Christian right now. Faith in Jesus Christ connects you to the family of God and to generational, the family of God. Look at Hebrews. I want to show you this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. We're getting close here. Here we go. For he who sanctifies, this is Jesus, he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified, you and me, all have one source. Some translations say family. All have one family. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. This is Jesus saying this of you and of me. He calls us brothers. He calls us family. God working. And just this morning, I found in Exodus chapter 20, and I want to read this to you. Look at this. Man, if this doesn't tear you up, I don't know what will. This is just God working. Look at verse 5. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Brokenness, generational brokenness. But that's Jacob. That's according to Jacob. But look at what according to Israel, according to the promise. But showing steadfast love to thousands of generations. Thousands of generation upon generation of those who love me. And see, for you and for me, this, our connection is Jesus Christ. Our connection is what he has done for us. And now this next week, as you identify some generational things, which I'd encourage you to do, so that maybe you can say, hey, how do we attack this? How do we stop this? How do we not let this continue on? As you do that exercise, understand this. That's according to Jacob. According to Israel, or according to the promise that's Jesus Christ for you and for me, Jesus who is Israel in one, for you and for me, we are connected to the very family of God. And blessings come from that generation to generation to generation. Listen, what you're doing now, raising your children to know Jesus, connecting with the people around you, sharing Jesus' love, that, because it's the very work of God, that goes on for thousands of years. I don't even understand that fully. I really don't. But that's incredible. Because it's God and what he's doing. And you and I are connected to that in Jesus Christ. Man, soak that in. Soak that in this morning. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. It's what it's all about. Let me say a prayer for you. Lord Jesus, wow. As you work with this family, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, as we see how you work with them, let it bring us great joy, I guess, or peace or whatever. As we look at how messed up our families are, as we look at how conniving and deceitful and so many of the struggles that so many of us struggle with, Lord, in this room. And as we identify some of these things that are generational, help us to understand and feel comfort knowing that you know about it already. And that you you want to meet us right there. Right there in the middle of that mess. I praise you for that, Lord. Thank you for coming and dying for us sinners. Not for dying for us. We got it figured out. We've all perfect. We've got it up. No, for dying for us sinners. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Lord, as you now want to use us to be a blessing to our kids, people around us. God, just the only thing I can say is we trust in you working through us. And so we just submit to that right now. Lord, we love you. Our eyes are focused on you. We just want to keep following you. Even though we're going to screw up and make mistakes all the time. I know, Lord. God, there's somebody in this room right now that just maybe needs to identify something in their life. There's somebody that maybe has that eating disorder. That's there, Lord, and and they maybe don't even fully recognize it. There's maybe the workaholic in here. God, just reveal some of these specific things to us so that we can bring them to you. And we do that now, Lord. We bring those things to you that we've maybe identified. And we just lay them before your cross right now, and we say we're sorry. We're sorry, Lord, for where we have allowed some of these things to go on. Forgive us for our just being so naive about it. Just forgive us, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, that that's exactly what you do. Our Lord Jesus died for you. And you are forgiven because of your confession, because of what he's done for you. Your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you're forgiven. Your sin is gone. You are Israel according to the promise. You are the church, the family of God, the very house of God. Bethel, wow. Lord, thank you for making all those connections. I just praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Bless us now, Lord, as we worship you. In Jesus' name.